Welcome to Liberty Revealed, the only show where you will learn about all things liberty. Your host for the show is a registered libertarian who's been involved in politics for more than 25 years. He has a passion for teaching others about the concept of personal liberty. Please welcome your host, Mike Mahoney.
I am a big believer in personal liberty. To me, my rights end where your rights begin. What this means is law should ensure that your freedom to live your life as you choose does not impact everyone else's freedom to live their lives as they choose. This is personal liberty. If you want to learn more about personal liberty and get more from this show, sign up to receive my 10-page guide on personal liberty entitled Liberty Revealed. You need to fill out a simple form located at yogispodcastnetwork.com/libertyrevealed. That's yogispodcastnetwork.com/libertyrevealed. Once you read through that ebook, you are guaranteed to be in a position to apply the philosophy of personal liberty. Hey, and welcome back to Liberty Revealed. I'm Mike Mahoney, your host. And today I have George Reese, the Secretary of the Libertarian Party of Orange County. He's a longtime activist in the party, and he founded the Huntington Beach Liberty Club last year. Welcome to the show, George.
Thanks, Mike. I'm glad to be here.
So how are you doing today?
You know, I always answer that question with never better.
I like when you do that. I love that positive attitude. Just so the listeners know, you know, George and I, full disclosure, George and I are friends. We do some events together. I help him with audio and video for the HB Liberty Club. That's the Huntington Beach Liberty Club. And we do other, you know, activist type events together. It's been fun getting to know George. And I think today is going to be a good time too.
I'm looking forward to it. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Mike.
So you had sent out an email, George, and I really love these emails that you've been sending out because you're sharing what I think is really important information that gives people a different perspective on maybe, you know, thinking about something a way they haven't thought about it before. So one of the things, you know, you put out was you'd listen to a podcast. And so I wanted to talk about, you know, what can we learn from best practices for building a business and how we can take that into, turn it into building a viable political party. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So about a year and a half ago, I started listening to a lot of business-based podcasts. And I did this primarily because I'm an entrepreneur, as you are, and I wanted to see if I had some applications of things I would learn from those podcasts that I could apply to my business. But then in addition, I wondered if those same things could be applied to Libertarian Party activism. And the connection is just uncanny. Every single podcast that I listen to, every single business book that I read, I look at and I say, this is something that we could do in the Libertarian Party as well. This is a principle we could apply. This is a lesson we could learn. This is something that we could do today that could help us to spread our word and become a bigger, stronger party that people actually want to vote for, want to support, want to change their registration for.
Perfect. Well, I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of business principles that could go into improving the overall actions of the party. And I feel like, you know, not the least of which is perhaps some, you know, organizational principles. I mentioned to you that I was at an executive committee meeting, and I noticed that they're all very learned about, you know, Robert's Rules of Orders, and they're very focused on Robert's Rules of Orders, but sometimes almost to the detriment of the meeting.
Yeah. So think about that in business as well. Nobody wants to go to a business meeting. Business meetings are dull. They're off topic. People get invited that don't belong there. Michael Hyatt wrote a book called No Fail Business Meetings or No Fail Meetings. And it's an excellent book that covers lots of issues about the importance of having meetings. And then once you have a meeting, who you should invite, who you don't need to invite, what you need to include at the meeting, making sure that you have an agenda. Everybody knows what the agenda is. how to get full participation from people within those meetings. So he came up with a formula and wrote a book about the formula of how to have a meeting and how to make sure you're accomplishing something. And you don't have a meeting to do something that somebody could have sent a memo about. So, and you don't need to discuss issues that everybody already understands at a meeting. You can say, everybody read the following documents, come to the meeting prepared to make decisions on them. Then the meetings can be focused on decision-making, team building, culture building within the organization, and moving forward and accomplishing things.
Exactly. I've heard it said before, you know, I attend a lot of city council meetings, and I've heard people complain that, you know, how can they possibly make a decision when they spend, you know, 2 hours talking about it? And what they don't realize is that they've done their due diligence beforehand, like you're suggesting here. You know, documents have been passed around, they've had staff do research, and then the research gets provided to them, and then they read it, they make up their mind what they're going to do. And I agree with you. I think too many times meetings are, they're important, but then they go so far off topic because nobody's prepared.
And so we have the preparation issue that you just mentioned, and I completely agree with, and that studying things, reading things, knowing what's going to be on the agenda in advance is absolutely key. Another aspect is there should be a goal of the meetings. We need to accomplish A, B, and C. So that's always going to be key. Some people think that the meeting is the activity, but the meeting isn't the activity. The meeting is the determination of who is going to be responsible for what, making sure everybody is on the same page, coming up with any issues that somebody sees with a given plan, bringing those up and helping to find ways around them or solve those issues. So meetings have an important role, but unfortunately, I think a lot of times, both politically in political organizations such as the Libertarian Party, and then in a lot of businesses, meetings are considered to be the activity itself, which is unfortunate. I was going to say one of the things I mentioned in that is team building and culture building, and one of the other things that I've learned from some of the books I've read and some of the podcasts I've listened to is the concept of developing a team of cohesive people, a culture within the organization that all work toward the same goal and that everybody knows the goal. And I think that's another thing that is difficult to do within a political organization such as ours, which is all volunteer, is if you have somebody who isn't on board, they're still there. So one of the things we need to do is create an attitude of activism. We need to generate interest in people participating so then that way we have people to choose from that can all come in there and accomplish things, work on the same page, have that positive attitude, and work toward building us into a viable party.
Well, and you know, you reminded me as you were saying that I used to be in, you know, in a former life, I was the director of technology for a delivery service here in Orange County. And one of the things our CEO used to harp on all the time was management without authority. And so, you know, the structure of that business was pretty simple. There were three owners that headed up the business, and then there were directors that headed up different departments. And the biggest problem, like as the tech director, I do not have any authority over the marketing director at all. And so if I need something from the marketing director in order to complete a task, I have to hope that he's going to do it. And actually, I have to use my influence to explain to him how important it is, give him a sense of urgency. But it's much more difficult doing that with a peer than with a direct report. You know, with a direct report, I can tell them this is due on this day, and they know that that's part of their job performance. But you kind of have the same thing in a political party. You have all these volunteers, and there's the expectation that people are going to do the tasks that they've taken on themselves. But if they don't, what do you do about it?
Well, exactly. It's a difficult thing, but something that's related to that also, and with your example that I think of is the issue of empowering people to do things. So the person who's the CEO of Ritz-Carlton Hotels, recently wrote a book, and I heard him on a podcast recently. And one of the things that he said they do at the Ritz-Carlton is they give every single employee the authorization to spend up to $2,000 to resolve any problem. So if the dishwasher is washing the dishes and somebody comes back to the kitchen and makes a complaint and the dishwasher is the only one there, the dishwasher could say, "I apologize to you. Let me do something to help make this better. Can I buy your dinner today? Or can I comp you your room tonight?" And they have that $2,000 authority. They probably don't use it, but the fact that they have that capability. In a volunteer organization like ours, we kind of all are autonomous and we all have a certain capability, but we're not really given information as to ways that we can utilize that authority that we might have. So one of the things that I think would be helpful is within our organizational structures, within the Libertarian Party of Orange County, within the Huntington Beach Liberty Club, we have ideas that are constantly out there that everybody knows of what we can do to help grow our party, what we can do to get better support for our candidates, what we can do to make our name more of a household name, and let's also say a positive household name. Make it so that we can spread the word, bring in more activists, bring in more volunteers, get more registered voters. And what each and every one of us has a lot of things that we can do. So those ideas should be out there, should be at the tips of our tongue all the time. Anyone who's involved in our party locally should know what those things are and should be doing them.
Yeah, you make a good point about empowering people. I can recall being much earlier in life, being a retail manager and telling all of my employees that they have a right to do anything to exchange products with a customer, et cetera, up until the point they feel they need to cite the rules for those things because they would always misinterpret the rules. So then I would tell them, hey, once you have to quote the rules, grab a manager. So this sort of set boundaries. You're allowed to go this far. And I agree with you. I've been on committees before where they'll ask you to go do something. And if you're conscientious and you just go ahead and you take it to the completion, sometimes you get complaints from the person heading up the committee that, oh, well, you didn't ask me if you could do that. Well, you didn't tell me I needed to ask you. And I think the clarity from the person running the committee needs to be there, because you need to know as a committee member, when you're given an assignment to go attempt to find some information or to set something up, how far can I go with this? And that's where empowering the leaders, like you're mentioning, would go so far, because then I think what once you run into that situation too many times where the other person complains, the next time you come around, it's like that once bitten, twice shy thing. You back off and you don't go all the way. And then maybe they expected you to go all the way with it. So it becomes this catch 22. So I really think these business principles are very, very important, because if you think about it, it may not be, you're not involved for making money, but it's still a business concept and you're still trying, you're trying to get people elected. That's ultimately what I see as the number one goal. It's why, I'm running for at large for the state of California Libertarian Party. And one of the things that I say is candidate support. That's my number one concern. Having been a candidate, I know how desperately needed that is. But we need to create some clarity around what the heck that means. Go ahead.
Well, so you're pointing out your goal is candidate support. And that's one of the things also that's a business principle, is businesses have goals, and they have goals that are specific and measurable and timely. They have a time key associated with them. So we're going to increase revenue by X number of dollars by such and such a date. So that's another thing I'd like to see us do more of, is be very goal oriented, learn the concept of how to create goals from business, and then create those goals, get our teams behind them and do them. But one of the things I realize is, as I'm saying these things, there's something really easy to say, and that is, this group should be doing X. And I hope I'm not saying that. I think instead, what I'm trying to say is, I've been learning some of these things lately. I'm trying to apply them here in the Libertarian Party of Orange County. I think our other officers are as well. And I'm trying to apply them in the Huntington Beach Liberty Club. And what I'd like to say is, if these things sound good to other people, join us and do them with us, because I think these are good ideas.
Yeah, I agree. I have to tell you, I'm impressed with the approach you used when you first formed the HB Liberty Club. You know, you had goals. And even this most recent meeting that we had, in January, you pointed out that you didn't feel like you were doing enough to reach your goals. And so we talked about how can we do that. I think that's huge, because number one, you had goals. And number two, you were humble enough to admit that, hey, I'm not hitting my goals and maybe I'm not doing enough to do that. So no, I don't think you're saying that, oh, here's this group of people, they need to start doing this. I think it's more, let's, you know, all of us gather around and start to take what we're all learning individually and apply it so that maybe we can move these things forward and see more success with what we're trying to do. And you're right. If there's people out there who are interested in what we're talking about and they want to join us, please join us, because the more people we have that are like-minded like this, the easier it is to spread the message. And I think that's really cool. Like, you've heard the people say you should never talk about politics or religion, right?
Sure.
So do you agree with this statement though? Religion and politics are virtually identical when it comes down to the way people look at them?
Well, I'm not sure. And that's something I haven't thought about. So I don't know if I can comment. I think both of them can be dogmatic, but neither one has to be. So I'd have to think about that a little bit more before I can answer it.
Cool. Well, I think for me, I came up with this concept about 2 months ago on one of our other podcasts, and we were talking about religion, and it just kind of struck me that there's a lot of similarities. I don't think it's identical, but there's a lot of similarities, and the dogmatism is one of them. You know, you get people that will say, well, we don't do it that way. Well, but why can't we do it that way? Well, because we've never done it that way. Well, but why can't we do it that way? And it's the same thing with religion. You know, you get people who say, house of worship should only be in a church. It shouldn't be in a school's multi-purpose room or something like that. They look down on those people. And it's interesting to me, just the similarities. And I thought I'd throw it out there. But so what do you think the Libertarian Party needs to do to become a political choice in this country?
Well, there's several different things that we need to do. But I think one of the main issues is people vote for their own team. So until we have more registered libertarians, I don't know that we'll elect very many. So one of the first things I think of is we need to really focus on building our registration. Building our registration involves doing what I said earlier, making it so the Libertarian Party is a positive household name. Give people a reason to join our party. Going back to a little bit of the business thing, one of the things that businesses are going to focus on is closing the sale. And closing the sale should be a positive thing. The person that is selling something is providing a good or services to somebody else that they want in exchange for a fair value. So in a political party, we are providing something that other people want in exchange for a fair value, your vote, your registration. And what libertarians provide is freedom. So by providing freedom in exchange for people supporting our party, supporting our candidates, in doing that sell or doing that marketing, advertising, we don't want to be the hero. Libertarian Party isn't the hero. The hero is the voter. And we need to understand that. And we need to be the guide in order to help the voter understand to achieve their goals in their lives. They need to have more freedom, less regulation in their life, less imposition by government, less taxes, be able to keep more of their money, be able to make their own decisions for their own selves and their families. And when we show them that by first registering libertarian, then they are moving toward achieving those goals. So we're helping them to be the hero in their own lives. And then we need more members, donors, and volunteers. So amongst those people that agree with us, we need to help them make decisions to help us to grow the party. We need to motivate them. We need to show them some enthusiasm. I can remember when I first became a libertarian, and I was all excited, and I couldn't wait to tell everybody I knew about it. But I've been a libertarian now for 35 or 40 years, and I think back, and I for some period of time lost that excitement. So I've rekindled it over the past couple of years, and now I'm excited and I love talking about it. It would be great if every libertarian had an excitement where they couldn't contain themselves. They just had to go out and share the information about the opportunities that freedom offers to people and how the Libertarian Party will help them to get to that. So increasing membership, getting more activists, encouraging people to donate money to the party, advertising heavily in a very positive way, and getting more registered voters. And then finally, the thing you said, which is we need viable candidates. We need good candidates that run at local levels, that run for nonpartisan offices, and then run for some of the smaller partisan state offices. And to build that group of candidates that have moved up in the ranks, people are familiar with who they are, with the type of governing they've done at the lower offices, and are willing to then support them for the higher offices.
So, you know, that totally makes sense. And I can relate to the passion issue. Because frankly, you know, I ran a 2-year political campaign where I think for the last 6 to 9 months, I might have gotten 3 hours sleep a night between running my business and running the campaign. And at the end of it all, I kind of felt like, you know, I don't know, disconnected from the Libertarian Party. And I thought, you know, what's the deal here? And then as I started to think about it, it wasn't that at all. It was just that I was quite frankly tired of anything that had to do with politics because I had lived and breathed it for so long that I just needed like a breather to kind of get away from it for a minute. And, you know, I did that. And now I'm back, you know, like you're saying, you know, I've kind of rediscovered that passion for that. And I totally agree with you. I think the registration issue is a big one because, of course, you know, if you think of political parties like a club, you know, that's your membership. You're a member of that club. But at the same time, it gives you something you identify with, and you can tell your next door neighbor that that's who you're with and explain why. And the more numbers we have of people, the easier it would be to spread that message to the masses. And I think sometimes that's also where you'll find the viable candidates that we're talking about. You know, you get more registration, then suddenly someone decides, you know what? I really like what they're talking about, and I want to represent them in government. And off they go. And it's crazy sometimes the people. I have a group on Facebook for my city council district, and I created it on purpose because I get a lot of people asking me through private message, can you talk to the city council about the homeless people that are congregated by the Walgreens? And so I created this group so that people could talk about those things, and I would know what should I bring up at city council meetings. And recently I asked who's interested in running for city council in 2020. And having recently made the decision myself not to run for city council in 2020, I was interested in seeing who I might be able to help.
Sure.
And the people that came forward surprised me. There's a lady who is, you know, as in her words, not mine, she's just a housewife. And in her words, all I do is take care of my children and my husband. But I'm very active in the community, and I'm part of the Little League board, and I'm part of the Boys and Girls Club. And I encouraged her, you know, keep those activities up. And there were three people, and I guarantee you, if I put a list of 20 people together and buried those three people in there, you'd never pick them as people who wanted to run for office. And I think that's the other thing is when you open up this pool of people, you're going to find some really gem people who can really represent the party well and have a great chance at actually winning whatever election they're in.
Well, I think you're right. And related to that, Angela McArdle recently posted a video blog, and she talked about the Los Angeles Libertarian Party and how they were stagnant for a while. And one of the things they had been doing is they had certain committees that they organized, and they were hoping people would come in and join those committees. And they decided to take a little bit more of an organic approach, or it just naturally occurred. And so instead, they found activists that had certain interests and then built things around the interests of those activists. And I think that's one of the things that we need to do. And that's one of the things I think in Huntington Beach is I have certain ideas I came in with, but at the same time, right now, it looks like we're getting some younger people that are going to become more and more active, college-age students. And as such, we need to organically allow them to grow and to create a campus activism here. So I'm looking, when I created that organization, at a geographical focus, because I think we don't have enough activists to be able to spread out throughout our entire county. So that geographical focus would be good. And I still agree with that. But from that, if other things can sprout, how wonderful that is. So we can end up with people coming in that you didn't expect to come in, taking the bull by the horn, so to speak, finding their passion, their interest, and building something from that that could sprout a separate organization or can focus what this organization does. So I think there's a great opportunity for a lot of people out there, and we need to listen a little bit to find out what their interest is and what they're willing to do.
And I think to add to what you said, I think being flexible about the direction you take is going to be important too, because like I look at, mainly because I was involved from the very beginning, I look at the HB Liberty Club. And I mean, I see how like the executive committee for Orange County had this idea of breaking down the county into smaller bite-sized pieces where you could have more activism and hopefully make more of an impact. But then you took the ball, you ran with it, and there was a certain group of people who immediately became like the core of your group. But as new people come in, we need to be open to them being part of the core and listening to their ideas, because we don't know everything and we don't have every idea. And I think letting other people get involved, it just makes them. If you ran with someone's idea, it gives them, they get this feeling of ownership with what they're doing as a volunteer that makes them want to keep coming back. And it really truly comes from leadership. I mean, I think that's where all of this comes from. I mean, even in business, if you're running a business and you know that you should be doing X, Y, and Z, and you're not, how can you expect your employees to be doing X, Y, and Z?
Well, and if you want to build, you have to be willing to delegate and you have to be willing to turn over the reins. And, you know, no one lives forever. I'm an old white guy, and we don't want a party run by a bunch of old white guys. So, you know, I came up with, you know, the concept of starting the Huntington Beach Liberty Club, but I'm hoping that I'm going to see more and more other people coming in, and other people, I just mean new members, people who haven't been libertarian before today, that come in and embrace our party and come up with ideas and build this thing way beyond what I could be capable of doing. So yeah, it's important that we empower others to be able to take our places.
Totally agree. And I wanted to mention to anybody listening that if you're on Facebook, you can find the HB Liberty Club on Facebook. Feel free to join the group. We let you know about when our meetings are. They're usually the last Wednesday of every month. The location tends to change a little bit based on availability and what we're doing, which is fine. But if you want to get involved, go on Facebook and look up HB Liberty Club. You can also, everybody has my Facebook link because it's on the website, yogispodcastnetwork.com. So feel free, if you can't find it, reach out to me. I can get you connected, because we'd really like to have more people, especially younger people, involved. I was talking, you know, George and I were talking in the beginning about, before we went on the air, about a previous guest of mine who was a 17-year-old Republican who ran a campaign office for a state assembly person. First, that's a big job to give to a 17-year-old. Someone had to really trust that person. But in getting to know him, he was capable. And I would love to see kids like that come out and help us grow this party. Because, you know, it's true. The next generation is going to be the key to what happens next. And I think they're starting to get fed up with the same old, same old. And so we have an opportunity to offer them a different way to approach things and liberty-based. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, I agree completely. The youth is our future. And I think the current generation is looking at really wanting to see the value of things, see the importance of things, see realism in things. And so I think they're willing to buck the status quo a little bit and could be a real positive future for us. You mentioned the HB Liberty Club. I think also we have a group that meets in North Orange County, and both of them can also be found at the Libertarian Party of Orange County's website, which is lpoc.org.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. I had completely forgotten about that one, but yes, that go to the website and you'll find both clubs there. And hopefully in the next year, we'll see a few more of those pop up around the county, but not with the same people running them.
Exactly.
It seems to be, unfortunately, we're bitten by the same bug as every other organization. You know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. So it's hopefully we get some new people in there. And I know elections for board members are coming up. So if someone's been involved, I encourage you to get involved even more. But George, thanks for being on the show today. I'm going to wrap up here. I really do appreciate it. And these were some interesting topics, and I hope you come on again.
Thanks, Mike. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, everybody, if you are interested in the concept of personal liberty, you can head on over to yogispodcastnetwork.com/libertyrevealed. And I have a little free book that explains the concepts using pictures and words. And it kind of cuts right to the core of the matter on various topics. And so feel free to go there. It's perfectly free. Just put your email address in there and it'll send it off to you. Otherwise, I'll see you again in the next episode of Liberty Revealed.
Thanks for listening to Liberty Revealed, the show where you learn about all things liberty. Please visit the show's website at yogispodcastnetwork.com/LR, where you can reach out to Mike directly with your questions and comments. Again, that is yogispodcastnetwork.com/LR.